continuing case of defying expectations, No Man's Sky is getting actual multiplayer rather than just light or presence. Promises are being kept, which is fair since no time frames were specified. This is just one story tonight. Stay tuned for the rest starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight for May the 20th, 2018, with episode number 731 of our show, where we're here to talk about video games and gaming culture and the gamer lifestyle with your hosts here in studio, myself, Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. Sadly, not here again tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She's continuing her adventures that she kind of started last week. I think she has a friend from out of the country that is visiting. And today they went to lovely San Francisco to go frolic and do the San Francisco-y things. So I am joined alone here in studio by Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What's new with you?
My mouth's on fire now.
Oh, with the food you were eating?
Yeah, the salsa.
All I heard you was, it's spicy. See, spicy food is like really good for me right now because, and you guys can probably hear it if I seem like a little less peppy than usual. Like this is so weird. Like I never got allergies in my life. And then last year it seemed like a little bit because I remember talking to a doctor and the doctor was like, well, it is possible you can develop allergies later in life. But this year, like this last week, like it started I think it was Monday or Tuesday because I remember tweeting about this. I think it was around Tuesday because I tried to get a doctor appointment on Tuesday. It was really scary. I had no voice whatsoever. And that was kind of scary and humbling for a minute because, you know, I have to use my voice to do my job. Like without my voice, I'm going to be, you know, screwed in that regard. It kind of makes you go like, oh, shit. You know, and then, there, of course, there's this, you know, my hobby that I've had for
years. You just
have
to pull a Stephen Hawking at that point.
I know, right? What else would you do? So, except have a voice to chat or chat to voice, whatever, that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh. So, anyway, luckily you can tell my voice is improving, but it's like these allergies are moving everywhere. Like one day it'll be my throat, one day it'll be my sinuses, which is what it is today. And if you've ever had super congested sinuses, you know that sinus pressure is no fun to deal with at all. So, it's kind of what I'm dealing with today. And then, you know, it's just some days it's just irritation, you know, so it's just, ugh. So I did go to a doctor, just, you know, not to be sharing all my business on OLR, but they do agree it's probably allergies because here in lovely Sacramento where our show is based, it's been a killer year for allergies. And so I guess mine have just kind of shown themselves and really taken hold. And oh, my God, it's awful. So we're trying over-the-counter stuff to try to treat it. So I don't feel 100%, but at least, you know, at least I'm here and I'm able to do this show well enough. That's important, right?
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. And it's not strep. That's it. It tested me for strep, and it's not that. So that's good news. That's why you can sit here with me, because we're confident it's allergies. That's not something that's contagious. You already had allergies anyway.
I probably have allergies now.
Yeah. You know, you never got them this bad, though, right?
I get allergies. I get, like, especially, like, a very raspy throat. Like,
yeah.
Earlier this week, I had that. You know, it's just, like, I always feel like I have to clear my throat and stuff.
Brad from Pod Culture asking the tough question, saying, could it be Mr. Smush? Oh, by the way, I should, of course, introduce our chat room because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And quick plug for Bobby, who's going to be at the Southern Fried Game Room Expo the weekend of June 8th in Atlanta. And he talked about some pretty exciting news and things you can see him do at the expo there on his show tonight. So, quick little plug there for Bobby. I'm going to back to the chat, though. Brad from Pod Culture asks, could it be Mr. Smush, our cat? I wouldn't think so because we've had the cat since November, and he doesn't go outdoors. And, I mean, if I had a cat allergy, I've been around cats my whole life. I think I would have seen it by now. I mean, this is the first time we've had an exotic short hair, but I grew up with a Siamese cat.
And typically, I would think shorter hair cats aren't going to be as bad.
Exactly. And Sanrio was, you know, she was a little lion, so she had, you know, really thick fur.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think it'd be a cat allergy.
Yeah, I don't think it's the cat allergies. I appreciate y'all playing doctor in our chat, though.
Everybody's WebMD.
That's right. Dr. Google to the rescue. No, I'm just giving you guys shit. SG100 Matt says, our allergies change every few years. I never used to be allergic to pollen and dust until recently. Recently, my allergies manifest as headaches now, which is really annoying. Yeah, that's sure the case. And then Sia Tabiri says, thank you for sticking it out, Rob Roberts. I'm trying my best. It may be a little bit shorter of a show tonight, though. I might be able to put in 2 hours, but we'll see. If it's a little shorter tonight, that's why. And Bobby Buckle says, are you sure you're not just allergic to Loki? Well, I think that would have developed a long time ago.
Yeah.
Another interesting internet theory from She-Hulk, who says could be the volcano and ash. I mean, Hawaii is a very far way. I mean, Hawaii is what, like a 3-4 hour flight from here? And like,
is it only that long?
Isn't it? I don't remember. It's been so long since I've been to Hawaii. I think it's like a 4 hour flight from the like San Francisco. It's like a 4 hour flight. So that's almost
going. Could
that
be because of the time zone changes though?
No, no, no. It's not because the time zone changes. It's you know, you're about 4 hours in the air. I don't know. It's been a long time, so quote me on that. But I feel like it's like far, and like Hawaii is probably as far away as like Orlando. You know, it's a long way away. So I don't think it's that, but who knows? Who knows? Anyway, five-ish from San Francisco, says Brad from Pod Culture. Okay, fair enough. SG100 Matt says, get an allergy test. You know what's weird? I tried hinting to my doctor. That's kind of what I wanted to do. And I guess maybe my symptoms weren't bad enough, especially because this is the way it always happens, right? And we will get into video games. We always do, but sometimes we talk about ourselves. Is that I go to the doctor on Thursday, and of course the symptoms on Thursday were like the best they've been all week. So she was able to see that my throat was irritated a little bit, but like it wasn't as bad as it is today. It wasn't as bad as it is Tuesday. So she's just like, oh, you have a little bit of allergies.
I've been a big baby.
Yeah, I mean, she's not going to say that to me, but you know, it was kind of like it wasn't bad enough for her to think like, oh, I should refer him to an allergist. So I'm going to have to keep complaining if it's really bad or something. I don't know, but I'm going to try to stick it out for at least a little while longer and see, because it could be maybe that I have like a cold symptom or something that's going through, but then Alan would have got it because he kind of lives here. So I don't know, guys. So confusing. Is there a doctor in the house? I'm just teasing. I saw a doctor. It'll be okay. But you know how healthcare is here in America. I have to be coughing. I have to be, you know, really showing more symptoms and probably bleeding or something to get more expensive tests ordered. That's the way it is, I suppose. Anyway, or at least prove that these over-the-counter things don't work. All right. As I promised, we do talk about games here at Orange Lounge Radio, and there's been quite a bit going on this week, especially as we are leading up to E3. Let's start with this. This is, I guess, this kickoff topic tonight is more of, I guess, maybe a little bit of a special interest thing, but it does kind of cater to how you buy games and what you're able to buy, right, Logie?
Yeah, so Valve decided, hey, you know what? We're going to actually do some content moderation now, being that they don't do it for anything else. Ever, but now they're apparently cracking down on some of these more sexier pornographic games, basically actually targeting visual novels. So there's been quite a few different developers of these visual novel titles that have been getting emails basically stating that, you know, they were going to be removed from the platform because of, you know, erotic material in those games. But it sounds like that they have backtracked on that a little bit. So apparently, Manga Gamer, Honeypot, and Loopysoft have now said that they've received emails from Valve saying that they're going to be re-reviewed for content, and they'll be informed if there's any specific concerns. So that's kind of good. But I find it ironic, though, that this is what they come down on. You know, this, like, oh my god, there's, you know, anime breasts in a fucking game versus, oh my god, there's a bunch of broken-ass shit that people are exploiting this platform to try to get online. That, no big deal, because we get paid. Yeah. But oh my god, the titties. Please don't show those titties.
Or the ultra-violent things that can get through, no problem. But that speaks to a larger issue in this country. We all know that.
Well, yeah, they had one that Hatred had been one of those titles that they removed for violence, but then eventually they just went ahead and put it back on there. So it was just, you know.
Huh. I mean, it's kind of like you said, though. Like, it's just boobs. Like, why can't they just put a warning or something like that on there?
Or why can't they just put adult games on the platform?
Or, you know, make it so that you have to be 18 or older to purchase it, which isn't it? I mean, granted, I've always kind of taken this
gated, which, you know.
Well, those age gates aren't very hard to get around. You just lie about your birthday. But don't you have to, like, be 18 to buy games on Steam anyway? Maybe not. I mean, I would think so, because you have to have a credit card. But
well, you could have a Steam.
Yeah,
know,
I guess that's true.
Points card.
Steam points
but
card.
Just allow yeah, them true, not to. True. You have to have a credit card on file or something like that. Or,
yeah,
I don't know,
something
in your name or something.
Something to gate the more intense stuff, and certainly like a warning.
Or who gives a fuck, because it's just fucking drawn boobs. I mean.
Well, I mean,
let's put it this way. If you're below the age of 18 and you're on the platform and you're attempting to purchase sexy whatever game and you're not allowed to do that, oh my god, it's not like you don't have access to the whole internet. Yeah. Where there's just pornography literally everywhere.
That's true.
That you can access
parents
completely freely.
Parents still need to watch what their kids are doing and actually use Steam, especially if, like, you know, little Timmy, who is, you know, maybe only 14 years old, is going to have a Steam account because grandma buys him Steam point cards for Christmas. And the parents probably want to make sure that, like, porny games don't go on it. But shouldn't it be very easy for the parents to be able to see receipts and what the kids are buying?
I'm assuming, since this would be like any other platform that's out there, wouldn't they have parental controls on Steam to be able to prevent those types of games from even showing up in searches?
I have to be honest. I've never really used that stuff because I don't have kids.
I don't have kids that buy games either on my Steam account because it's just me buying games on my Steam. No one's buying games on my Steam account.
Well, I was just going to say, your kids are going to get older soon enough. So have you thought about any of this type of stuff, or are you just going to kind of try to control all that?
Nah, I'm not going to block anything. Who cares?
It's just titties.
I'll just tell them this, okay? It's like, listen, these games are here to try to sell you anime titties. They're not that great. If you're looking to see anime titties, you can just don't pay for fucking pornography.
Yeah, it's not even like good
boobs.
Don't
pay for pornography. That's the lesson that needs to be learned there.
They're not even like good boobs. They're not even titillating. Anyway, let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Some help from folks that have actually seen some of these things in Steam. MXC says some Steam games do have age gates before you go to the store page. Although Kaijudo, you know how to get around it. I tell them I was born in 1923. I can get into anything. Let's see. MXC does say Steam accounts do have family libraries you can set up, as in hiding certain games, restricting, etc. Yeah, I was going to say, like, there has to be, I mean, that whole type of stuff is customary now. I'd be very surprised if that wasn't in there.
And if the issue is, oh, well, then my child's just going to find a way to get around it. If they're smart enough to find a way to get around your age gating or whatever, they know where the porn is on the internet. I mean, come on.
Bobby Blackwolf says, notice that Valve only cares about anime titties. 3D modeled titties like in The Witcher 3 are not in trouble. If some of those anime visual novels were 3D models, they probably would be fine. That's a good counterpoint.
Doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Is it because, like, again, I haven't played these games, but is it because the anime characters are portrayed as young girls? So it gets in that really, like, yucky area of kiddie porn,
which I agree is
gross.
Let's just put it this way. Like, okay, so I have my Steam store page up here right now. Okay. And as I'm scrolling down, I have the under $10 page has a bunch of these Super Dimension Neptunia stuff, which all has anime chicks on the front.
Yep.
Scroll down even a little bit further, and I've got this game called Rabi Ribi, which has, you know, scantily clad, young looking anime chicks in it as well. I mean, I don't know.
I was just about to ask, like, where's the anime dicks, though? And MXC with a good point in our chat saying, some of the visual novels do feature young, in quotes, looking girls. However, coming out on top, a gay dating sim about college men was also targeted. I can't keep my gay dating sim straight. but is coming out on top, is that, like, sexually explicit? Didn't it have a version on Steam that took the really gross stuff? Well, I say gross, but, you know, Tumblr-type stuff out?
I thought
that's how it worked. Not that I expect you to know,
maybe.
Loki, but somebody in chat hopefully does.
There's too many games to keep track of.
I remember one of those popular gay dating sims, and I think it was that one, had, like, a watered-down Steam version that came out where they removed, like, the most explicit, like, jizz-on-my-face type of scenes that were, like, in the original, if I remember correctly. You know, I've never played those games. Like, if I want porn, I just go to Tumblr. Or the new one that we've talked about on this show. You know where all the porn is at now? Like, it's Twitter. Like, all the fucking porn is going to Twitter. I don't know, like, where that is. But we've talked about this on a previous episode because you get really annoyed because you just happen to have a lot of gay male friends who heart stuff, and then your feed just fills up with dudes in underwear.
This is what okay, listen.
Which is not your preferred thing.
And I have a problem. It's really a problem with Twitter. It's anything that basically, oh, this person liked this thing. I don't care what you liked. Okay?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Liking is good if you want to let that person know you like the thing, or you want to bookmark it for later so that you can go back to it and it's easily able to find. That's why I did, like, there was a really cool animation that I saw that gave me a great idea for, like, a game idea. So I was like, okay, I'm going to like that so that I can go back to my liked list and find this thing that I'm looking for. So, you know, that's what I use it for. But, like, I get it. You find that guy attractive. But, dude, I can only block so many gay men on my, you know, Twitter feed.
And before you start to look homophobic.
It's not that I am, like, anti-gay or anything.
No,
it's like I browse Twitter at work, and I don't want That is like, oh, hey.
Loki, it's happening to me. Believe it or not, I'm friends with some straight people. And the same thing's happening to me.
Exactly.
I'm getting Beaver on my feed, which I try very hard not to be one of those gay guys. It's like, ew, vagina. But, you know, I'm just like, okay, I didn't really need to see that. This is not the content I signed up for today.
Well, yeah, like I've got a few people on my feed that enjoy, you know, very attractive cosplay women
yes.
in there as well.
Yes,
and that also is something I can't just have popping up on my screen if I'm browsing
okay,
Twitter.
But you know what most people are going to tell you? Stop using Twitter at work and do your work. See, Twitter's blocked at my work, so I only have my phone if I'm going to check Twitter. So luckily, that's, you know, pretty easy to hide. But still, I'm like, the hearted post feed, that really fucking annoys me. The only way to get around it that I found, I can do it on my PC if I use TweetDeck. You go to like tweetdeck.twitter.com or something like that, and it will show you. You can set up different custom feeds, but like your normal feed will not have any of that shit in it. So it's like the third party stuff is the only way to get around. Like the forced like stuff.
Yeah.
But I heard that that might be changing in the coming weeks, that like,
well,
Twitter is going to clamp down on the
like
third party
of,
stuff.
Of course, they want to market that shit. So whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I just block people now. I mean, that's all I have to do. And I mean, whatever. It's fine. It's not like I'm going to follow those people anyways.
Kaijudo in chat says, I respect my followers on Twitter. I never fave nude pics I see. Same thing. And like, I'm going to keep it real. Sometimes I've been at home and I'm looking at Twitter late at night and, you know, some very attractive male is lying on his bed in his jock strap. And I'm like, that is a fine looking specimen of a man. And like, I want to click the heart to give that guy that validation he's seeking. But I don't do it out of respect for people like Loki and everybody else who follows me, because I'm like, okay, if I heart this post, everybody's going to know you're a perv. Like, I don't. But
well,
I feel bad. I'm like, I want to give my friends posting nudes validation, but I can't do
well,
it.
That's why they should have like something separate where you can.
Well,
do,
or
like,
or you just have to roll a separate account. And I think that's something that Bobby Blackwell's getting to in our chat, saying, don't be horny on MAME. And that's what other people are doing, is that people are making. I keep wanting to say rolling alt accounts like it's a World of Warcraft character. So you have your real World of Warcraft character Twitter account.
I'm rolling a pervert class now.
Then you have your Goldshire and Warcraft character on the Moonguard server. And that's what I do see some people doing, not a lot, but I do have friends that do that. They will follow me still on their alt. And like, I'm not interested in posting naked photographs of myself on the internet. I have nothing against people that do. I think that's cool if you have that type of like self-esteem to be able to do that. But like, it's also one of those things where I can look at it and go, you know, not for me. And especially having the increased visibility of doing this show, my career and so forth, nudes of me on the internet, probably not the best idea, right? So like, I have no interest in rolling an alt account to post, but maybe to view. Maybe. Anyway, where were we? Anime titties turned into a Twitter talk. Does Steam need to ban Twitter?
Steam needs to – I think they need to focus themselves on other things, honestly. I mean, I don't know what the – from what I – because I remember hearing a story about this. And so it was, I think, another – it was like a watchdog group or something that like went after these types of games. And that's what kind of brought attention to Steam about it. But, I mean, really, they need to just – focus more on these games that, you know, the whole getting rid of whole the green light thing and stuff. Terrible idea, because now anything's on there and literally all sorts of bullshit garbage is on Steam now. It's ridiculous.
All right, and then I'm looking in chat. Fifth Dream saying, I just had this conversation on Twitter last night and this morning. A musician I follow clicked like on a lady, and you could see her butt. I wonder out loud if people know we can sometimes see those likes. Well, remember that infamous case that happened with Senator Ted Cruz? Remember that?
Yeah.
His account liked some porny thing, and it became a meme overnight. And now you still see that come up, that lady in the glasses. What the fuck was that porn? I don't remember what it was called.
I don't know.
But the lady in the glasses biting her finger because she's like looking at something sexy going on, like, you know, that infamous still from that. Like, that is probably the most well-known story about that happening, was when that account, whether it was him or an intern or whatever it was, it certainly was not a great look for a professional, you know, politician, no matter how you feel about politics.
Let's see. Also in chat, SG100 Matt says, I have the same problem. I keep seeing people favoriting borderline, not safe for work, furry stuff. I have no problem or issue with friends having their that be their interest, but I really don't want to see a sexualized fan drawing of Isabel from Animal Crossing on my feed. I also just block it now. Hey, why don't I show you where you can put those bells?
She's just trying to pay off her mortgage.
The things Tom Nook makes people do are very, very dark. I love that multiple people in chat are starting to put no in all caps. Not just one person, but like multiple people all in a row. No, stop, desist, end, cease. VidPower says, I did not need to know about Isabel porn. A blame SSG100 Matt. It was his idea.
It's a thing. There's the internet. Of course there's porn of it.
Oh, my God. Let's see. And then JD saying, there's a reason why there's a difference between like and retweet. Amen. Like, why can't it just be, if I want people to know I like it, I'll retweet it. And I do. Actually, you know what I really love? I love the quote retweet thing because I know that people will block retweets because I do that. Like, I didn't do this in the beginning, but pretty much after I had about 500 people I was following, whenever I follow somebody new on Twitter, I instantly shut off their retweets. I don't care who it is. I don't want to see retweets. I want to see the content that the people I'm following are posting. And that's how I'm able to follow 1,000 people, not with any regularity or whatever, but, you know, I try to keep tabs on, you know, whatever. So I instantly disable retweets, like, all the time. But if you quote a tweet, it goes around that. So if there's something where I'm like, oh, no, I want people to see this. Like, oh, there's this great new Maxine Waters video you have to see of her shutting some bitch down in Washington. I'm going to quote tweet it so that you have to see it, type of thing. That's how you get around the retweet thing. But it's so funny that you can turn off retweets, but it doesn't turn off the heart thing.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't make any sense either that you're just going to see what people like anyways, and what's the point, what's the difference between a retweet and the like? I mean, you're going to see it anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's dumb.
Anyway, where were we? Steam, yes.
Yes. Steam, how far have we gotten away from that?
I guess the only thing I wanted to add on the Steam front, back on the original topic before we went to Animal Crossing porn, I wanted to say about the fact that doesn't Steam sell movies? Is that still a thing that Steam's doing? Is
yes.
Selling? So don't they sell R-rated movies?
I don't know. So, I haven't actually looked at what kind of movies they sell. I know I have just one movie that I have that whole indie game.
Yeah, it was kind of like the first one that went up on there. I still haven't watched it to this day.
I did watch it for when I went to our Innovation Lab rotation thing because that was a prerequisite for what we were doing.
Okay.
Literally had nothing to do with what we were doing at all. So, I mean, that was nice that they had me watch it, but it was a good documentary. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, I had no bearing whatsoever on what we were doing, but yeah. It was still good.
It's weird because I've watched a lot of video game documentaries, just not that one.
It is really good. You should definitely
check
it out.
Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to be a hater. I just, for whatever reason, I just never get around to watching it. Probably because it is in my Steam library and not on Netflix. It's not something I think about watching, especially at my computer.
Well, it's good, too, because it's like three games that I've... Well, okay, I haven't really played...
Real quick, SG100 Matt says they have 1,088 movies on Steam, and MXC confirms they do sell R-rated movies. So I would assume at least one of those R-rated movies has boobs. Maybe even a dong or a beeve. Because you can get away with showing like a little bit of that in an R-rated movie, right? Maybe from like a distance, you know. So if you like up close genitals, probably NC-17, but like from a distance.
I don't know. They got away with a lot with Borat.
Well, okay,
or not Borat, the other one, yeah.
Shape of Water, okay.
Shape of Water.
Her lady self was on full display, full frontal display, and that was an R-rated movie. And then what was it? I mean, spoiler alert, but what have I really spoiled?
Not Borat. What's the other one? The other character that he played as well that wasn't Borat.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I don't remember his name.
But there was I'm also thinking that movie with okay. God, y'all are going to judge me so hard. Who plays Magneto in X-Men now? And he was in that movie where he did a full frontal, but it was like for like 2 seconds. Michael something.
I don't remember.
Somebody in chat will know. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, and Sia Tabiri in chat says Bruno.
Bruno,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm forgetting Sarah Marshall. That. Thank you. Fassbender. That's it. Fassbender. Michael Fassbender. Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed star. Because I remember joking about, is he going to show us his sword in Assassin's Creed? So, but anyway. And then pretty much half the movies Ewan McGregor has been in. Anyway. This isn't a nudity in film chat, I promise. Tiger Claw in chat says, did you guys see the trailer for The Happy Time Murders? I'm sure there will be plenty of boobage, be it Muppet boobage. Yeah, Alan sat me down and made me watch that.
That's a total, like, Meet the Feebles.
That's exactly where my head went, too. I'm like, didn't they do this called Meet the Feebles in, like, the 90s? And Meet the Feebles was not very good.
It was terrible.
But it didn't have Melissa McCarthy or Joel McHale, so these really, like, funny people.
It does look funny.
It does look funny. Like, Alan's like, we're going to go see this day one. And so I'm like, okay, even though I never go to movies, I'm like, okay, if it'll make my husband happy, I'll go, you know. I'm kind of looking at it going, this looks ridiculous. But he will make me go to the most random comedies. What was the last one we saw? This Is the End?
That was hilarious.
It was have funny moments. that's what I'll get. Have funny moments. Have funny parts.
It was funny. I liked it.
All right. Anyway. Oh, wow. Okay. JD says this has the actual Jim Henson Company behind it, or it sounds like it, which is a change.
Yeah, it's
wow.
The Sun or whatever. It's
they're allowing that?
Yeah, they're the ones doing the puppets.
I'm kind of shocked to hear that. My, how times have changed. All right. My, how the topic has changed. So I think we need to shift gears here before we get into the rest of the news, talk about our gaming weeks, the types of video games that we've been playing this week. So, Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton, but I did buy a lot of things. So, I mean, there's that. So there's, like, all sorts of sales going on. I went to, what was it? We were looking, my son wanted me to get that Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle thing. So we ended up finding that half off at Fry's because it was their 33rd anniversary. So they had a bunch of things that were half off. Along with that, though, Fry's also had their DualShock 4s half off. So I got them for $30 instead of like $70 per controller. And because my kids have kind of destroyed a couple of my DualShock controllers, I went ahead and picked up two new ones to go along with it. So now we have four, which is awesome. And then I also picked up yesterday, completely different sale at GameStop. They are doing their Pro Elite some sale thing. And they had Skyrim VR for half off. So, of course, I've been holding out and getting Skyrim VR. So I had to pick that up as well. So I can't wait to play that. And then, you know, they've been doing flash sales on the PlayStation Network, so they had Titanfall 2, like the gold edition or whatever like that, for $5. So I was like, hell yes, I will pick that up for $5. Along with there are some other, like, PlayStation VR games that I picked up. So, yeah, lots of stuff to play. Didn't play a whole lot of that. I did play just the kind of the same type of stuff that I've been playing, so lots of Dance Dance Revolution Extreme still. Playing a little bit more of Mario Odyssey. And then, of course, on the front of Dance Dance Revolution Extreme, I was also playing Statmania. I did get my replacement J-Packs for my arcade cabinet and for eventually when I convert the machine into a Statmania machine. So I have those now for that. And then what else did I play? Lots of Pokemon Go because I had a field trip and we went down to like the Sacramento Zoo area. So that whole William Lamb Park stuff, tons of Pokestops everywhere. So I did that. And then also I guess it's like a, I don't know if it's a farm for like some sort of like weird like frog alligator thing. I don't know what it is, but there was a ton of them around there. So I got that. And then I played through that event that they had on Saturday, got my Charizard upgraded with the new dragon power thing. Sadly, did not get any shinies because the shiny Charizard looks fucking awesome. And then what else? Yeah, that was pretty much it.
All right. My gaming week.
I'm sorry. One more thing.
Bitch.
Sorry. No, I wanted to get into this because I tweeted about this on Twitter quite a bit.
Right. My gaming week is like super short this week because I'm still working on my project. So
I wanted to play Grand Theft Auto 5 because I haven't played Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC very much. And I'm like, you know what? I keep watching people play Grand Theft Auto 5 stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and do that. So I went ahead and tried to do that, and my password didn't work. And I'm like, well, that's weird. And I'm like, did I change my password and just forget what it was? Like, I don't understand. So I tried resetting it through their service or whatever, and their service is broken. It doesn't send emails out at all. So I was like, okay, well, what the fuck? So I ended up having to log back in or create a new account and relink it to my stuff, and that worked. And it was weird because I was able to keep the same name. But at the same time, I'd already sent a ticket to Rockstar to get that back. So they finally like reset the password for me after confirming my email address, and then I went and logged back in, and it was tied to some, the PC account was tied to some Russian guy, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And so, because I never played on PC, at least online, I played on console, and so I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? I mean, because is someone even using my account to play like Grand Theft Auto Online on PC? It's not like they're stealing anything from me because I never played on PC. So I don't know what would be the purpose of that other than not having to buy the game. So I was like, yeah, I was in like some Ukrainian clans or whatever on there and crews. And so I was like, okay, well, I reset the password already. So that's done. I'm unlinking all this stuff. I'm deleting this. Now I have a level 14 character that's in Grand Theft Auto that I don't know whose it is, but it's mine now, which I thought was funny. Joke's on them. Steal my account. I'm going to steal your shit.
Wow. So somebody got into your account. That's crazy.
I don't even know how. Because, weird. Like, and it was weird, though, because, like, I hadn't been that long since I played. Because I played once I got this computer, and I've had this computer for about almost a year. So I don't know. It was weird. But, yeah. I mean, it's not like they were going to steal anything from me, because I had nothing on that account. So I don't know what the purpose was, but they're going to be a little upset that their character's gone. They're only level 14 anyways, so whatever.
All right.
So that was just my little adventure. And then, like, after getting that all resolved and trying to play it, and it's like, oh, now I got downloaded, like, 10 gigs of updates. And so that didn't.
That's the worst when the game, like, you want to sit down and play a game, and it's like, oh, I've got to download, like, 10 gigs of updates.
Well, it was weird
first.
That, like, before I even tried to reset my password, it downloaded updates and installed them. So I'm like, okay, so we're done updating now. So I go back in there after I logged in. It's like, oh, hey, we got another, like, 5 gigs of updates to download. Fuck. So I didn't end up getting the play Grand Theft Auto 5 this week, but I will this week on all somebody right. else's account.
Alright. Have fun with that. Alright, finally, my gaming week. I also did the Pokemon event on Saturday, as many of you are talking about in chat, and I hope this doesn't sound like bragging or anything, because I know some people have mixed luck on that event, and that sucks. But I did get 5 shiny Charmanders, which...
you asshole!
I know, I got 5. Well, I mean, we went to the Capitol when everybody was like, don't go to the Capitol, it's going to be fucking nuts down there, because we had this big bike race called Amgem that was happening downtown, and then there was graduations going on both at the Golden One Center and at the Memorial Auditorium, which I realize means the two big places to have graduations here. And then there was something else. So it was like everything that could be happening in Sacramento was going on this weekend. So they're like, don't go downtown. But I was like, I have guaranteed parking at Alan's work, you know, not to tell all his business, but he works a reasonable distance from the Capitol. So I can park at his work, no problem, and walk. And that's what we did. And, you know, the Capitol had a few Pokemon players, but it was like probably a quarter of what we usually see at the community days, because I think the news scared everybody off. But there were still a lot of Charmanders to be found, and we just kept catching over and over and over again. And I would say we were getting probably one about every 30 minutes. So finally, when we got the third, I say we, it was me and my buddy John, who I used to live with a long time ago. He's like, he was not like a big gamer back in the day. I don't remember if he was ever on this show, but I lived with him for a while. This is a long time ago, you guys. This was when, for those of you that have been with OLR a long time, this was when we were simulcasting the show on Justin TV. Which, yes, I know a lot of you would like us to go back to, and we're talking about it. That's all I can say with Twitch now, obviously. But when we had Justin TV, the simulcast there, remember that garage studio that had like, the lights and everything that we were doing that in? Okay, that was me and John's house. Okay, so John was not like a huge gamer, although he was, you know, really rad because he always supported this show and the fact that we kind of took over the house every Sunday night. So, but he's like more into Pokemon Go than I am. Like, we have a competition about who can get more gym badges. I have, like, 569 gym badges. This bitch has, like, 630 gym badges. It's like he's visited that many unique gyms around the area. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, so, but John's great. He wouldn't hear this anyway. But so him and I went out. We were and technically our Shane, who you all know him, I'm sure, from Ranger Pride and all that, he was there too. But Shane gets, and I'm sure you all know this, he gets in the zone when it comes to shiny hunting.
So if we're not moving fast enough for him, pew, he goes off and does his own thing. So within like 20, not even 20 minutes, 15 minutes, that's what happened. John and I were lagging too far behind, and pew, he went off to go catch more Charmanders. So we weren't able to catch up with him until the end of the day. So anyway, John and I were kind of both like catching about one every 30 minutes. So finally, about the time we got to 90 minutes in and we had three, we were like, okay, well, like three, that's kind of the goal. Like if you get one, you're content. If you get three, you're great because you can have one for each evolution, right? And even one of the shinies I caught appraised as a wonder or highest appraisal. So it's my first shiny wonder, and it was probably like level 29 or something also. So like I'm in good. I caught a good Charmander. We're good. So I got my little black dragon Charmander. I'm good. So we kind of took it easy at that point. You know, we went over to Starbucks, just would catch whatever shows up on the Starbucks, got a drink, took it easy. Then we walked back and caught a couple more shinies on the way back. So we had a nice kind of like easy day. So I hope you guys had a good Charmander experience, those of you that went out and did it. If you didn't catch a shiny, I can sympathize. Again, I'm not trying to rub it in. You know what I think they should do? Here's what I think they should do. And those of you that may be a little more frustrated at Community Day, maybe you'd agree with me on this. They have that questing system in Pokemon Go. Why don't they just make it during Community Day that, like, if you catch 50 Charmanders or you complete 12 quests, which are all, like, catch three Charmanders or whatever, if you do the questing, you get a guaranteed shiny spawn. Wouldn't that be nice? And then you know you could at least get one if you put a little effort into it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the theory from MMOs. I see Warcraft, I see Final Fantasy 14 doing this. If you do the boss enough times, the boss drops an item or the boss drops points, so you can at least get some sort of reward, even if the thing you want isn't always dropping. That, I think, would be a nice, like, I'd be very happy with that. Even as somebody who did very well this Community Day, I'd be very happy with a system like that. So, anyway. We'll see. I'm finally just now looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SS2100 Matt says, I got three shinies. I got nothing until the last hour, and then I got all three. I was sweating and not happy about it during it. It doesn't help that it was pouring in NYC, and the map was messed up with a lot of weather-boosted Pokemon. Well, I mean, it probably worsened my allergies, and here I am today. So there you go. All right, so besides Pokemon Go, which I talked about plenty enough, I played Blaster Master Zero this week because I was just looking through stuff on Switch. I almost got Hyrule Warriors, but I was like, I haven't had a lot of time to play games.
I thought about, I saw that at the store. I'm like, am I really going to – do I want to drop $60 on this? I mean
– well, if I can – which I know Nintendo games never go on sale, but if maybe like Amazon Prime still has the deal, maybe I'll get it through that or something. Excuse me, guys. Maybe I'll get it there at some point. But yeah, $60. Yeah, it's always like $60 to take a risk. Will I really play this game or not? But I think I will probably end up getting it. But I was like, what do I want to play? And then I was like, you know, I love this Blaster Master Zero game, and there's all these DLC characters I've barely touched. So I went in and played that for a little while. And that was my good little like decompression game earlier this week. So anyway. Hopefully I'll get to play more games this week. I still need to go binge spend money on Pinball Arcade because, like you guys, that news last week, I'm sad that all those tables are going away. But I think, Loki, I think I'm going to double dip on PC. If for nothing else, the fact that I can stream some of them and just kind of have them in my Steam library. Because, like, PC, that's always going to be there, right?
Yeah.
PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, you know, if PlayStation 5... I can't believe I just brought up PlayStation 5 on this podcast, but here we are. If PlayStation 5 isn't backwards compatible again, I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't guarantee anything. Oh, I don't think it's ever going to be.
I'm not going to guarantee it either.
And like honestly, like when it comes down to the next-gen systems, whatever that's going to be, I'm probably going to go Xbox this time again because honestly, I like the first-party games, but when it comes to some of these other games that I tend to play more, which are like, you know, Skyrim and stuff like that, you know, the Bethesda games, look who's supporting modding a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they have, like, these whole Beyond Skyrim things, you know, that giant mod that they're talking about and stuff. They have the first part of that available on the Xbox. You can download that mod on the Xbox. Can't do that shit on PlayStation 4. So, yeah, I mean, I think take the stance of someone that actually seems to be listening to their user base.
JD in our chat at live.vognetwork.com points out Nintendo games do go on sale. The eShop has an on sale section, for instance. I should have clarified. I meant like first party Nintendo games rarely go on sale. I am aware that the indie stuff, they are pretty good. And that's a good way to like feature the indie stuff too, just like on Steam. Now, and to be fair, I know that sometimes you have like the gold coins you can trade in for deals. I'm not talking about 1 cent per coin, but like you can buy like a 40% off coupon. They do those types of things. Maybe Black Friday they'll have a sale. But Nintendo first party sales are pretty rare. Well, I don't – maybe the Wii U was a little more generous because the Wii U was struggling a little bit. But I think like
– no, even the Wii U wasn't very –
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, you know – anyway, just my perspective.
Like, I
but
get,
nothing, JD, nothing that's going to be on sale like in the next couple months. Like Black Friday would probably be the first time a game like that would go on sale.
It's just a weird stance to take, though. Like, I get it. And I guess, you know, with the Switch, it's still early in its lifespan. But, I mean, they did the whole Nintendo Select stuff with the Wii U. So maybe they'll do that with the Switch. So they'll re-release them for $20 or something like that. But, I mean, even first-party companies on all the other platforms, you know, they discount their stuff. I just don't understand why they're so stingy with their titles. Like, I get it. They're, you know, these games are masterpieces. Yeah, no one is arguing that. But they're arguing that, you know, hey, maybe charging $60 for a game that came out 4 years ago, not a great idea. You know, I don't know.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase cover.
All right. Well, let's, you know what? We're talking about game sales. What a great transition into our first topic tonight. Let's get into some gaming news. I'll just quickly do some housekeeping. No shows off plan in the immediate future. We will be out the weekend of June 24th, I think the day is, as I'm going to be out of town on a trip. But you can look forward to our 16th anniversary special the week before that. I say 16. Well, there's not going to be anything special about the show. Maybe we'll try to get a guest or two. But that will be on June 17th. We'll be celebrating 16 years doing this. Old enough to drive, this show is. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm actually like, not to get too sappy, but I'm really proud that we've had the drive to just fucking stick with it this long. Like, 16 years is a long time to do anything. It's pretty yes. amazing. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, that's the one little toot our own horn I will do. We'll do more of that in June. And of course, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR, and Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. Okay, now we can do gaming news about sales. Yes, Logie.
So this is actually unfortunate, but Best Buy, they've canceled their Gamers Club, and they haven't even really made a big announcement, but apparently Gamers Club Unlocked was that service that you could get 20% discounts on new games. You pay like a one-time fee each year, and you get those wonderful discounts. Well, there was apparently rumors that the service had been canceled, and it's been confirmed now. Speaking with some Best Buy employees, that there was an internal memo saying that the service ended on May 17th. They haven't given a reason why it was ended, but apparently, you know, they're going to honor the subscriptions for as long as they have left, but you're not going to be able to renew that subscription going forward. So that's unfortunate, because I know a lot of people use that for pre-ordering games, but maybe it just wasn't profitable for them.
Yeah, and I know some people that swear by that as opposed to Amazon Prime, so that's a little bit shocking, because that Gamers Club is also giving you discounts on Amiibo and that stuff, which the Prime thing doesn't do. So this is a little bit it is and it isn't shocking, you know, because they probably were losing a bit of money on it, and retail's kind of hurting as it is, so maybe this is something they had to do. Maybe they're going to think about a way to try to discount games from the top for everybody, as opposed to just having to sign into this program, to make it a little more appealing that, like, hey, we do cheaper games even if you don't have our subscription. I obviously, you probably go, Rob, that makes mathematically no sense. Obviously, I'm talking about not as deep of a discount, but maybe, you know, a couple bucks off
well,
the top.
Well, not to like promote GameStop or anything, but I know they have their, because I was looking at it this week, their used game thing, they have this now Elite thing you can buy, which is slightly more expensive than just the $15 a year, and you get 20% off their used games versus just the 10% off that you normally get, which isn't a great deal. But, I mean, you could, if you were looking to purchase, you know, quite a few games, like I was thinking to purchase, you know, quite a different games or quite a few games on the Switch and other platforms. I was like, well, you know, I could probably make up that difference that costs to pay for that with the savings I would get from purchasing those games. So I was like, it might be worth it in that sense, but I don't know, maybe not something I'd pay for every year.
So some of the comments from our chat, some surprise actually at this news. Fifth Dream says, whoa, shit, they canceled it. So many people are going to be pissed. Tiger Claw says, maybe because nobody took advantage of it. Nobody ever talks about this Gamers Club. I know people that used it. I mean, I think more people are using the Amazon Prime thing, but that's not to say I don't certainly know people using the Best Buy thing, because as somebody else points out in chat, you could double dip on it and get the points and so forth. And JD said that you can double dip and get points and the discount, and that's what kind of sells it for some people. So yeah, you kind of have to wonder, like, was it really profitable for Best Buy, or was it, you know, they're taking a step back? Fifth Dream with another perspective here says game companies have been fighting back too. Sony and others have been stopping Amazon from offering pre-sales on their games because of that discount, I'm sure. Very, very interesting. And Brad from Pod Culture says, I used it a lot. Lego Dimensions alone saved me the cost. Yeah, if you buy a lot of those add-ons and so forth, for sure, for sure.
So many times I've been so tempted to buy Lego Dimensions. And every time, like, I'll see it, and it could be dirt cheap, like $20. And I'm like, I know if I buy that, I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to buy that. I'm going to be like, ooh, and I'm not going to play the game. I'm like, there's no way I'm buying this game.
It's a fun game, though.
That being said, though, I have so many of the characters.
I really appreciate that they didn't put out a new version every year.
Seriously, though, if you are into LEGO Dimensions and want to, you know, pick up some of those things before they go away, Dollar Store has them for $2
right?
a pack, and they're still selling them in, like, Best, like GameStop and Target and Walmart for $20 a piece for those little things. $2. I have a desk drawer full of them.
All right. Let's move on to another story. This is another big story from this week, talking about the game No Man's Sky. Yeah, it's been 2 years, believe it or not, since that game launched. But No Man's Sky is going to be getting a new multiplayer mode, and Hello Games has confirmed that this is happening as part of the Inside Xbox YouTube show, which we already knew No Man's Sky was coming out for Xbox. Like, the exclusive window for PlayStation has probably run out, so the game's going to be coming out on Xbox now on July 24th. So the director, Sean Murray, said that alongside this Xbox launch, the game is going to start allowing people to work and fight alongside one another. So I'm not sure if Jason got that right in the intro or what he was alluding to, but it sounds like this multiplayer update is coming out the same day as the Xbox version.
It's in July.
In July. Yeah. So even though there was a multiplayer update last year, it was what the little glowing dots. It was
not Fable multiplayer.
Yeah, no, it's not really what it is. So in the press release, you can do the infinite universe with your friends or bump into random travelers. As you voyage together, friends will help you stay alive or possibly prey on others. Oh God, trolls, can't wait. Build bases from tiny shelters to complex colonies that you create as a team and can be seen by the community. The shelter colony thing was kind of already in the game, to be fair. I got a cough again, sorry. Be a pirate or wingman in epic space battles with friends and foes, and race Exocraft across weird alien terrains and create tracks to share online. That bullet right there, that's the one that made me perk up, because I'm like, is this the closest to F-Zero we're going to get? Because that, I like that. We're going to get to race.
Vehicles aren't that fast. They're like little Doom buggy things.
Not yet, but maybe
they're like
just
the Mako.
You have to mine more. That's all it has to be. But that part sounds really exciting, so that's pretty cool. So, so what do you think about No Man's Sky still kind of working on the game?
I props them for keeping, you know, for keep working on it. I mean, seriously, they got their money.
Yeah, especially in the face of all the negativity out there about the game. Like, they have really stuck with it, and I really can't help but give them props either. I think it's great. So, I mean, congrats to them for sticking with it.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll work out in their favor. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to want to visit this game again on Xbox, but
I'll go back to it on PlayStation after all the updates are done.
Yeah, there's a loyal crowd on Microsoft's end that I'm sure will be curious to check this out, that maybe they feel like they're getting the better version. I don't know, although PlayStation is getting the same update, so is PC. But, you know, kind of neat. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I hope the multiplayer works out for No Man's Sky. The base building stuff is pretty crazy. And Dungeon Buster continues, kudos to the team for adding more content this way. And it really should be noted, I mean, in case you weren't aware, they've been slowly adding to the game this whole time. I mean, it's not like every couple weeks, but they've been putting out these big updates on a fairly regular basis, you know, across these 2 years. So kudos to them. I want to check this out too when it comes out. So I'll probably re-roll again. I guess maybe PC for me, even though I do have the PlayStation 4 version. If I do PC, my streaming setup's better there. So that's why I tend to grab
PC. Yeah, I may get
PC.
It on PC too. We'll see what the sales look like.
We'll see. No. All right, let's move on. Loki, more big announcements from this week, right?
Yes. So less of announcements, more of confirming rumors. But they did a whole Black Ops 4 presentation that was streamed online talking about the big changes coming to Black Ops. So Call of Duty this year is not going to have a single-player campaign. instead. It's going to be multiplayer only. With that, you're getting three zombie modes or maps or whatever that are going to be in there. And then they're also going to have this brand new mode that's basically their big battle royale mode. So that's going to be available as well. Interesting, though. I know with rumors of this and other, I guess, inside sources had said that they were working on a single-player campaign for the game, but apparently due to time constraints, they weren't able to finish it. And so that was scrapped from the game because of that. But, you know, some of the other selling points of the game, they're saying this time it's more class-based multiplayer, so they have different classes you can play on that can do different things. A lot of the wall running and stuff that were in some of the other games are gone. They say now it's boots on the ground. And the zombie modes look kind of interesting. They had one that was, you know, kind of this gladiatory type thing with just melee weapons. Then they had a couple other ones that were, I don't know, just look like your classic zombie fare. But for me, I'm really disappointed with it.
Cause really?
I did play the campaign. And they would like to say, and I've heard this, that, and a lot of fans of Call of Duty will say this, that no one plays Call of Duty single player. No one plays the single player campaign. Everyone's in Call of Duty for the multiplayer. And that's just wrong, actually, because I've watched other videos talking about this, and in one of them, which is by a YouTuber that I tend to watch, Young Ye, which talked about, if you look at these sites like Steam, and I want to say there's a PlayStation Trophies site that had the same type of information, and you look at the trophies that people have in Call of Duty as far as these games, there's about half of the people that play Call of Duty that have finished the campaign. And then only about half as well that have actually prestiged, you know, once or gotten that trophy, the prestige. So to say that no one plays single player is not really true. And here's what it comes down to, honestly. And I know that the fan base wants to, you know, say, oh, well, too bad you don't like it and you're just a scrub or whatever. It comes down to the point that Activision and they've been, it's been a numbers game with Activision. Like, look at what they did to Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, where they basically interject, you know, they sold the DLC maps for the game separately. They gated the game behind Infinite Warfare. You had to buy Infinite Warfare to get the game because no one really wanted to purchase Infinite Warfare. And then they, you know, stuck in loot boxes into the game. It's a numbers game for them. So do they spend money to develop a campaign that might get some people, you know, get a lot of people excited about it and bring it in there? Or do they save the money in developing the campaign and sure, they're going to lose, you know, quite a bit of sales from it, but in the end, they make up more money by putting in this battle royale mode and they're able to monetize that more. And so they're going to make up more money with monetizations and loot boxes because, honestly, if you listen to any of their, you know, financial numbers, that's where all the fucking money is anyways. And so that's why they're not seeing people as their customers anymore. They're seeing them as the numbers, and they're playing the numbers to make themselves the most money because they don't want just some of the money. They want all of the money. And that's why we're getting this shit. And unfortunately, I can't support it. I haven't been purchasing Call of Duty the last few years anyways, just because I've, you know, looked at the single-player campaigns and some of them haven't been very good. I did like Black Ops. That was one of my most favorite kind of storylines. That and the Modern Warfare stuff. Just this Infinite Warfare was just a little too much like Advanced Warfare, which was the last one I had picked up. But
yeah, Loki, a very howering but very realistic take on what may be going on in the games industry for some companies. I mean, indie development is certainly still all about the players, absolutely, but very interesting kind of perspective. You know, I know not everybody always agrees with what you say, but I think you worded that very well where, you know, it seems like some companies, you know, players are numbers. They're dollar
signs. Activision and EA are big proponents of they think they can get away
which is weird because I never really feel that from the Blizzard side of Activision, but then as Activision slowly gets their little tentacles on things, they kind of like the whole fact that this is in the Battle.net launcher is kind of one of those like, oh god, you know.
Well, yeah, and I get it. And
no, I mean, it's smart. It's smart, but it's
like,
just
like, and I get it. Like, you know, Overwatch is extremely successful with their loot boxes.
Yep.
But to me, that says it's just it is just cosmetic stuff, and it's always that's what it's been. That's what's always going to be, and I'm fine with that because I don't feel the compulsion, the need to get that stuff. But some people might. But it's
Overwatch. Sorry to cut you off, but Overwatch is also a very special kind of game. It is not your typical first-person shooter. You know, and I've said this for years on OLR. Blizzard has this way of Disney-fying popular genres or popular games and making them extremely accessible. And that is exactly what they did with Overwatch, is they took the Team Fortress 2, most obviously, slash first-person formula, Disneyfied the characters, gave them rich backgrounds, and made this game that even people whose bread and butter is World of Warcraft wanted to play because the characters were so strong, you know, that people wanted to get into this universe. I'm telling you, Loki, when we look back in 50 years on, like, what were the biggest video games of this decade, Overwatch is going to be towards the top of the list.
Exactly.
No question.
Exactly. And here's the problem, though, is, like, when you have these people, they take this out. It's a total EA. Well, I don't even thought I'd say it's an EA move because it's an Activision move. Activision's been doing this forever. It's an Activision move where they basically say, we're removing something that you're paying your $60 for and you're not really, we're adding this battle royale, and we're innovating. We're innovating because we removed the single player campaign. Because they would say that's like
Apple talking about Courage when they got rid of the headphone jack.
Exactly. They say they want to tell a story in a different way through the multiplayer modes. Bullshit. I'm calling on that because Titanfall did that same shit.
We all know it's marketing speak, and like we all know it's crap. Like, I hate to say it, Loki, but you are stating the obvious in that way. Like, we know, like, the fact that Activision is saying, oh, we had the courage, or this is the artistic vision. Nah, it's a line of smoke to blow up our ass to explain why, you know, you just wanted all the resources of multiplayers because that's the bread and butter. Well, that's the money. That's loot boxes. You don't make money off single players.
The ironic part, though, is before all – like, first off, the lack of, like, a single-player campaign, that was kind of just a quick mention at the end of the presentation. And before, in the beginning of the presentation, they're talking about, like, the rich storytelling of Call of Duty, and they were showing clips from the single-player campaigns that are not going to be in this game. It's like, what? I don't know. It just – I hope it's good. My expectations are not high.
Let me ask this question about the Battle Royale stuff, because that's what our chat is really screaming about in over at live.vognetwork.com. S200 Matt says, I hope this Royale game movement helps innovate the genre with the additional competition and doesn't just dilute and jump the shark with it. What do you think about the whole Battle Royale edition? I mean, it's not surprising, that's for sure. But
it just, to me, it looks like the big like Battlefield-type games where it's a bigger map. You've got vehicles, and that's it. But you know, it's not that innovative because Battlefield's been doing it forever.
Yeah, I don't hate them for jumping in on that genre. I mean, it's kind of the thing that people are doing right now. When Minecraft first came out, every game, like a lot of game franchises, like here's a build your own type of thing, or how do we expand on that? Right? We get all these kind of like Minecraft clony things or clone.
But
modes
they're doing that kind of like this with like Fortnite stuff, where building barricades and stuff, and it's like I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever.
You know, we'll see how it plays out. They haven't said how many players it supports, so we don't know how many players online you can do in this, you know, Battle Royale type game. Let's hope it's good.
Yeah.
I don't buy into the hype. Just see if it's good.
All right. Well, another big show event that happened this week. Maybe if you aren't in, like, I find there's kind of like two types of gamers. There's like the Call of Duty gamers, and if you're not really into that, maybe this is your tea. Or maybe you like both, and that's cool too. Or maybe you like neither, and then I'm
in team both.
What do you play? But anyway, the other game I want to talk about is Kingdom Hearts 3. That's right, the premium showcase event happened this week. I didn't know that because our invite clearly got lost in the mail. But anyway, apparently the members of the press were allowed to talk about the game on May 18th, so some of the information started coming out, and there were two modes in this demo at the event called Olympus and Toy Box, so they got to actually play a little piece of the game. You probably saw some Wreck-It Ralph stuff coming out of it. I don't know if there was a Wreck-It Ralph mode or if Wreck-It Ralph was a summon, because it kind of looked like it was more like a summon to me. And that's what people are saying, but that's still really cool that there's at least a reference in the game. But I mean, with all of this kind of showing up right now, doesn't it really seem like it's happening? Like Kingdom Hearts is going to finally fucking be this year. Like it really, I mean, they said
we're going to announce the release date next month. Well, no, it's going to be E3. No shit. E3 is next month.
I think it's this year.
I hope so. I mean, if they come out and say April 20, or what would it be? March? When's the fiscal year end? April, right?
It'd probably be March.
So if they came out and said March 2019, that wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world. But at least I think we kind of know that, like, okay, this fiscal year is when it's happening. If not the holiday, which would be a great time. A great time because kids and everything that are going to be like, Disney, Disney. But, I mean, who's – I mean, even though I say that, the kids that are like Disney, Disney – how long ago was Kingdom Hearts 2 at this point? Like 10 years ago.
Being that they invited the press out to
those view kids this. Those kids are adults with their own kids now.
Being that we're at this point in the press media cycle,
yeah.
My guess is probably around September.
Yeah, I kind of think that's the case. I think we're going to hear at E3 that this is really happening. And so that would mean that Final Fantasy VII Remake is the game that's going to be bumped back a little bit.
Yeah, I heard that was like before 2023.
Okay, but excuse me. Tonight's show's going to be a little struggle. Thanks for bearing with me. I think that was like a tongue-in-cheek reference that didn't really make the translation very well. Like, I think that was one of those self-aware jokes. I don't think they were serious about the 2023 thing because by 2023, the PlayStation 5 will be here. Again, here I am talking about PlayStation 5, but dude, that's 5 years away. No game generation's gone on that long. We're going to have a PlayStation 5 by then. So Final Fantasy VII Remake, it'll be out. Maybe next year. It's not to say that Square can't do two big games for holiday, but I
don't think they would.
I kind of feel like one is this holiday, one is next holiday, but also if Final Fantasy VII is episodic, maybe they would do the first episode before end of fiscal year or next year, and then maybe episode two, like either that holiday or if that's not enough time, maybe holiday 2019 or Jesus, no, I guess it would be holiday 2020.
I don't think they would put them... those two games out that close to each other because they would cannibalize each other. So I think it would be spread.
You think they cannibalize each other? I don't think so.
Yeah, probably.
I think both would happen. Didn't the Kingdom Hearts remakes come out not too long around Final Fantasy 15?
Yeah, but those are remakes, though. So.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess. S2100 Matt says, some of those kids who've played Kingdom Hearts have as many kids now as Kingdom Hearts has had those decimal edition games. Ain't that the truth? I guess that is another thing, too, is that, and we knew they were doing this, Square was kind of trying to refresh our memory with those HD remakes and allow new kids to get exposed to the series, even though, again, as a near 40-year-old, I can't explain the fucking plot of Kingdom Hearts. How is a kid going to understand it? But whatever. Sometimes you don't necessarily need a plot. I mean, whatever.
And tonight in Final Jeopardy, explain the plot of Kingdom Hearts.
explain the plot of Kingdom Hearts in one word. Go. Stuff.
Keyblade.
Pretty. All right. Anyway, and as S2100 Matt says, it's fan service. There is no plot. I mean, accurate. Like, I'm just going to sit there and button mash and like, ooh, Tron. Ooh, Disney movies.
I just hope there's easy mode because I
am
an impatient.
Scream it. I keep wanting to say Daffy Duck. Donald Duck. Scream at Donald for being
God
an idiot.
God damn it, Daffy. Shut the fuck up. I'm Donald. That's a terrible... That's the worst thing.
Can you rename Goofy and... I guess you can't because they're kind of like protected. It would be great if like most RPGs you could rename the characters.
Your name is Asshole.
No, I would rename Donald as Daffy. That would be funny. Anyway.
Have we had the crossover Donald Daffy Duck?
No, because it's Disney and Warner Brothers. It's never going to happen.
That wasn't like in a...
You're thinking like Space Jam or something that is not...
No, I was thinking like maybe Who Framed Roger Rabbit or something like that. No,
I don't think so. No. Good try, though. Maybe. I don't know. Oh, actually, folks in chat are saying Roger Rabbit. It did happen. All right. Well, shit. Shows how much I know. What didn't really happen... I guess Roger Rabbit was a Warner Brothers movie at the end of the day, wasn't it?
Well, I think they just had... That was when they were playing nice with each other.
Interesting. All right. The more you know. All right. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to do one more story here before we get to the classic game of the week. So with games being released, for a new life to begin, some lives must end. Right, Loki?
Yes, it's the circle of life. And Sony is actually...
It's the circle of life.
Sony is actually acknowledging the fact that the Vita exists, and they're basically letting us know that it exists because they're saying, hey, we're ending production of Vita games. So, yeah, Apparently, no more physical Vita games are going to be released. I'm not sure how long the digital is going to continue, but they're saying that apparently the final purchase orders will be entered by February 15th, 2019. So, yeah, they're ending it, but that's next year. But there's not a lot of Vita games coming out.
Well, at the same time, not to be a bitch, but is anybody really surprised at this news? Because
no.
There's a part of me that's like, they didn't already end this production?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it's just Sony's support of the Vita has been not good.
No.
Which is funny, because I've heard this term a lot, that the Switch is the successor to the Vita, and I kind of like that little tongue-in-cheek jab at, you know, how Sony didn't really support the Vita. And in a way, it's kind of sad, because with the PlayStation TV having been a thing, even though it didn't get supported for very long, like, you kind of had that system where you could play something on the TV and then pick it up and take it on the go. Like, if Sony, yet granted, it was two separate elements. You had to buy the TV. But if Sony had just kind of taken that, like, a few steps further and really had that faith and really put that kind of marketing into it, like, they could have beat Nintendo at their own game.
They still could.
I mean, it wouldn't. Now, to be fair, before the chatters yell at me, it wouldn't be as fast as click, like, pick it up. Take. I mean, you would have to, like, have the cloud save. But they kind of started to do that with the whole, God, what the fuck did they call it? Oh, my God, we made fun of it. Konami had...
No, Konami had a different name for it that was, like, stupid. And it was
R Rising or something. Oh, God, what was they? Somebody in Terraform or something like that. I don't remember what it was called.
Yes,
really
Konami...
Funny.
Stop naming things, Konami.
Transparency. Thank you. Transparency. That's what's called. Dark Tetsuya, gold star for you. Transfaring.
Transfaring.
Get it? Because you're not transferring. You're transfaring.
That's stupid.
I hope that's the name of Sony's next handheld, the Trans... Just kidding. Sony's never going to make another handheld. But the Sony Transfar.
They might. I don't know.
In Japan. Maybe. I don't know. All right. Well, rest in peace, Vita. But again, if you're in Japan...
They're going to still be making Vita games because they still acknowledge the Vita in Japan.
That's right. It's still accepted there. All right. Let's get to the classic game of the week. You guys ready for the classic game of the week? Every week we dive into the gaming vault. And Dark Sakura, she usually jumps in there and finds a game that she thinks, hey, brats, play this video game this week. But Dark Sakura's on vacation, so when, you know, mom's away, we're going to play. So last week, I took over and gave you SimCity as the classic game of the week. Look out, y'all. It's Loki's turn. Loki. No, but you picked a good one. You picked a good one.
Yeah, cool. I picked a good one. Well, Rob knows that this is my... potential second pick that
I urged him to save his first pick for like an anniversary show and convince Jamie it's a good idea. But anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about tonight's pick. What did you pick for tonight?
Well, being that we were just talking about Call of Duty and Call of Duty just had a World War II game come out, I thought it'd be great to choose a game that isn't Call of Duty at all. No, this is actually 2006. This is my favorite game out of both Halo 3 and, well, this is Resistance Fall of Man. So Resistance Fall of Man was a PlayStation 3 like launch title. And what was kind of cool about it is it took not only the World War II like Call of Duty style gameplay, but it also added like kind of some alien elements to it as well. So basically you play this guy, Sergeant Nathan Hale. He is part of this human resistance that's trying to drive out this mysterious alien like invasion out of the UK. And the
I didn't realize the whole beginning of this was narration, so I need to fast forward to some gameplay here in the clip.
Sorry.
Much better. No, that's all right.
Yes, and so it's the Chimera is what they're called. So these aliens that are coming down and trying to take over everything. And it's just a pretty great story-driven game. And so what was kind of cool about it is, you know, with the traditional World War II weapons that you had, you also got alien weapons that you can use. And some of these had alt fires on there as well. So you can do this one weapon that, for example, would launch out a tracking beacon, and you can basically curve bullets around the wall. So if, like, you know, you tagged one of these enemies with the beacon thing and the enemy ran behind the wall, the bullets would follow right around the wall to find, you know, him. Or they had one that was that would actually go through walls, or you could create a shield with it. So lots of cool stuff. But you know, it was actually one of my most favorite games on the PlayStation 3, and one of the series that they did make a few additional ones. They did a Resistance 2 and 3, Also, of course, being that this is one of the systems that had motion controls in their controller, the 6-axis at the time, because it wasn't the DualShock 3, you may remember. The 6-axis, they had motion control support for it. So, like, for example, in multiplayer games, if you got tagged with one of the beacons, you could shake your controller to shake it off. Or in this one, they would have, like, these, like, facehugger alien things that would try to attack you, and you can shake those off of you with that. So, like, just little neat things like that. What else? Multiplayer is kind of fun. They had, you know, offline and online multiplayer for up to 40 players online, which is pretty sweet. And then, you know, lots of different maps to play as. One of the cool things, though, once Resistance 2 was coming out, they actually offered all those maps for free, which is kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, it was one of these games. I still think this is a game that they should remaster and bring back, because I thought it had a pretty decent storyline. And, you know, out of the two games, you know, Halo 3 and Resistance, I think Resistance was my favorite because I had played through both of them. But and the other thing that's kind of cool about this is once you do play through the whole game, you can play through it a second time, and there's actually different alien weapons that are in there as well, so you can play differently through the game. So it's kind of urges you to repeat playing through the campaign, which is kind of nice. Something that certain games don't do nowadays, but whatever. It's all a numbers game for these people now. So, yes, Resistance Fall of Man, my pick for Classic Game of the Week. That's it. I keep it short.
All right. No, it's all good. Sometimes there isn't a lot to say, but I like it. And plus, we don't highlight a lot of first-person shooters. I mean, we know that Jamie doesn't play as many of them, but she has, you know, she's talked about her motion sickness and things, so she doesn't get as into those games. So it's good that we can spotlight something, I think, a little bit different. So I think sometimes you and I are, you know, Jamie, you know, and I'm not, I would never disrespect her when she's not here. I ain't that stupid. But, you know, she has her experiences in gaming, and she has a deep knowledge about all these import games that I could never, like, do, right? But then for me, I'm like, oh, old Commodore 64 and PC games. That's my bread and butter, right?
Uh-huh.
So then I'm able to spotlight those, and then you play some different types of games, like first-person shooters. So I'm glad we could spotlight that.
Yep.
Yep. All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Resistance Fall of Man. All right, we're going to take a break, though, and when we come back, there is plenty more of Orange Lounge Radio to come, including rapid-fire news, what's coming out in stores, emails, if we have any. I didn't peek. And then some more big news. We have a for what I believe is a surprise closure kind of coming out of nowhere. So not all good news either. So we're going to get into that when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Your calls, too, when we come back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with our 731st episode already in progress for this May 20th of 2018. Loki and I here alone in studio tonight as Dark Sakura is extending her vacation a little bit, but she has it's understandable. She has a good friend from, like, out of the country, I believe, visiting. So, you know, you want to spend every moment with a friend of yours that's
when they just bring them along.
I actually thought at one point she was going to do that, but I completely understand that, like, seeing San Francisco is probably, like, more on this her friend's bucket list than go sit in for 5 hours on OLR.
Yeah.
3 hour show, 1 hour before and after. You know, it's a lot of Sunday night. So I totally respect that. It's good. I also want to give a birthday shout out, even though I know he doesn't listen to this show, but maybe you all will tweet him and tell him that I was talking shit tonight. But I want to wish a very happy birthday, because technically his birthday passed, but his birthday party was today. So Captain Matt from Starboard Power Coupling, also if you used to listen to Horde House back in the day, Grandpa, he's had his birthday today, and the theme of his party was "fuck it, I'm 40," which is funny because I'm older than he is. He's not 40. I think today was 38, or this week was maybe 37. He's not 40, but because we call him Grandpa and older stuff, he's just saying "fuck it, I'm 40." He's like the reverse Bobby Blackwolf. He doesn't do the 29. He's just "fuck it, I'm 40." So big happy birthday to Captain Matt over at Starboard Power Coupling from your booze here at Orange Lounge Radio. Anyway, let's get back into some rapid fire news, Loki.
So you may remember we talked a little bit about Walmart leaks, Walmart Canada leaks, and some games that were posted on there prior to their announcements that would be assumed at E3 if they were legit. Well, maybe there's a little bit of legitimacy to it, because one of those leaked games was Rage 2, and Bethesda was trolling the shit out of them, and now they released their gameplay and announcement trailers. So it looks like very Mad Max-ish, as kind of the first Rage game did. And I think there'll be more coming out during the Bethesda conference in probably a few weeks here. So, neat. I got a Battle Royale vibe from it. Maybe that's because everybody's doing Battle Royale, but it's, I kind of got a Battle Royale vibe from it. But maybe that's just the trailer. Just saying. Looks cool, though. This is interesting. So, you know how they do kind of like some of these different like speed runs and stuff where they'll do like a Link to the Past randomizer where they'll randomize weapons and stuff throughout the different.
Yeah. I don't watch enough dungeons. Of those, but if I have a friend on Twitter who streams on Twitch who does a lot of Final Fantasy I shuffle. And I always found that fascinating.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So this is going to be quite the thing to see. I really hope this is something that they run in one of the AGDQ stuff events, either the summer or the regular one. But this is a ROM hack that combines The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past and Super Metroid. So the way this works is basically when you go into a dungeon, you end up actually going into it, it goes back and forth between Super Metroid and Legend of Zelda. And you'll find sometimes Super Metroid power-ups in The Legend of Zelda. So you'll find different things there. Or you may find some Zelda stuff in Super Metroid.
I like those little crossovers. That's cool.
I just think it sounds creative. Really cool. So that I am very much looking forward to seeing how that would work. But apparently it's a ROM hack that they've done, and some people have run it. But I need to see this. It sounds so awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Not cool. If you were looking forward to Shenmue 3, it got delayed. Well, you know how we feel about delays at this point. If a delay is what the game needs to be better, then by all means, delay it. So the game will be launching in 2019 now. It will not be launching in 2018. Somebody brought it up earlier when we were talking about Kingdom Hearts. So if you weren't already aware, guys, Shenmue 3 did officially get pushed back. Deep Silver made the announcement this week, updating the release window for 2019, stating the extra time will be used to polish the quality of the game even further to the high standards it deserves and release the product in the best possible time frame. So
thank you.
Yeah, you know what? Gamers, we don't do that anymore. We don't get angry when games are pushed back anymore.
Because when you don't do that,
yeah,
and you cut corners like that,
yep,
that's when you lose your single-player campaign.
So thank you, Deep Silver, for doing what you had to do to ensure that the game is going to be great. So PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC worldwide in 2019. Something you can play a little bit sooner than that is Locke, or Locke Cole, which I forgot he had a full name. If you don't remember that name, he is a character in Final Fantasy VI. Remember, I think people would call him a thief, and he'd say treasure hunter, or at least in the English translation, yes, of that game. Anyway, he is going to be a new character in Dissidia. Gotta be honest, this was a game I couldn't really get into, but maybe I need to give it a second look. Maybe it's one of those things I'll revisit when it comes down a little bit in price. I was hoping it would be more of like a standard fighter, but it was a little weird to me, like with all the objectives and all these things. I had a hard time figuring it out. But for those that are into it, cool. Play a lot of it, and now you'll get to play with Locke, as he is the second download character for this game, of course, coming from Final Fantasy VI. Or 3, if you grew up in, you know, the States in the 90s. It was originally Final Fantasy 3. So, yeah, you'll get to play with him. And he joins Terra as one of the people from Final Fantasy 6. And there's some costumes and some swords. You can see about that as well. Also, they've announced that there will also be 4 more DLC characters, including a female, a male, a female who was in Dissidia previously, and a male. So all the characters will be from the latter half of the Final Fantasy series. So, interesting. Anyway, May 17th is when you can check out Locke in Dissidia. Let's travel around and check out what's coming out a little. Actually, May 17th already happened, so you can download them now. I did not realize that story was like, it's happening today. Anyway, let's travel around and check out some other stuff you can pick up really soon this week in stores. Loki.
Yeah, so starting things out, we have the expansion for Elder Scrolls Online, Somerset. That's coming out on PC and Mac. We've got the Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and 2 on the Nintendo Switch. Runner 3 on PC, Mac, and Switch. Stardew Valley is making its way out to Vita. Oh my god, a Vita game. And a pretty good one at that. State of Decay 2 on PC and Xbox One. Tennis World Tour on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. This is cool. Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon, that game we talked about last week, the kind of retro.
Oh yeah, like the mini one,
whatever. That's coming out on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Vita.
Cool.
We've got Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers on 3DS. Remember that tower defense armadillo game that Nintendo has?
Yes.
And it looks like some, I'm assuming these are remasters, Persona 3 Dancing Moon Knight, Persona 4 Dancing All Night, and Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight. PlayStation 4 and Vita on 3 and 5, and number 4 is getting just the PlayStation 4 release, and those are all rhythm games. Punch Club on the Switch, and we've got a few more games. Looks like 7 Scarlet on the Vita, Dark Souls Remastered on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, Detroit Become Human on PlayStation 4, and last but not least, Sudden Strike 4 European Battlefields Edition on Xbox One. That's it.
All right, let's travel over to Japan and check out what's coming out in Japan. I know they had a big holiday week recently, but I think things are slowing down a little bit, including PlayStation 4. Excuse me, things are ramping up again because the holidays have slowed down. PlayStation 4, in fact, getting a few releases this week. I did not know this, that Persona 3 and Persona 5 dancing games are on their way to the PlayStation 4. How did I not know that?
I just mentioned them.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, they're coming out here in the U.S. When I saw this earlier, I was like, I didn't even know these games were coming, but there you go. So they're also releasing in Japan, same thing as Loki just mentioned for here. The Dark Souls remaster also making its way to Japan this coming week on May 24th, as well as a game called Mikagame Sumika no Seifuku Katsudo comes out this week. And Undertale gets its release in Japan, obviously on the PlayStation 4. It's a pretty big deal. It doesn't stop there, though. We also have... the Karumaruka Circle in regular and limited edition, and Detroit Become Human gets its Japanese release in parity with the U.S. release. That is very soon. I'm actually really excited to check that out. I hope I have the time to do that. And then I closed my list without looking at the Switch or the 3DS. So bear with me a minute while I bring it back up. But they don't release games on anything but the PlayStation 4 over there.
It's all Vita over there.
It's all Vita. Actually, you remind me to check, see if there is a Vita. Believe it or not, yes, Undertale on the Vita. The Persona dancing games also on the Vita. Vita is still super well supported over there. So those games all out on the Vita. And let's check out the Switch real quick. Yeah, the Switch is getting the Rockman Classics 1 and 2 hits Japan this week. Obviously, that is Mega Man here. And then Rabbit Cross Labyrinth Puzzle Out Stories also happening on the Switch. And Urban Trial Playground also on the Switch this week. As well as a special micro SD card that's branded for Nintendo that is 256 gigs in case you're downloading all this stuff. As far as the DS goes, though, it's a little quieter over there. Nothing to announce. I think that is probably ramping down with the exception of that Luigi game in like 2019. How about the UK, Loki?
We've got Space Hulk Deathwing Edition Enhanced, or Deathwing Enhanced Edition. That's coming out on PlayStation 4. State of Decay 2 on Xbox One. Tennis World Tour on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, the Switch, and PC. Detroit Become Human on PlayStation 4. Dark Souls Remastered on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And that's it.
All right, we're going to get to the mailbag. You guys send us emails, and we read them. Even when you don't send us many emails, we'll still go in there and read them. If you want to send us an email in the future, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send an email. Our first and only email tonight from Robert M. Hey, you know what, Robert M., always there to email us when none of y'all else will. So thanks, Robert M., who says in the subject line, bats. And then it's into the email saying, just thinking about bats, as I tend to do... And just wondering, besides games that use them as basic enemies, such as the Swoopers of Super Mario World and the Bubble Bats of Mega Man, what other games have bats as major characters? The only ones that come to mind are Sunsoft's Arrow the Acrobat, Rogue the Bat from Sonic Adventure 2, I believe, and Laylee from Yooka-Laylee by Playtronic. So Robert M. wants us to talk about video game bats. Driving us batty tonight. Well, you know the first thing that came to my mind, Robert M. Batman.
He's technically not a bat. Now, man, bat.
He's a man bat. I'm sorry. That's where my brain went. I was like Batman because those games were
Pokemon, sorta.
Okay, yeah. There's bat like characters in Pokemon.
I mean, they're not supposed to be technically bats. They're other bat like equivalents.
They're bats.
Yeah.
How about you guys in chat? What do you guys know over at live.vognetwork.com? What do you guys think? Because I'm having a hard time thinking about other
bat enemies in video games. Didn't Legend of the Mystical Ninja have
Castlevania
some...
had a bat.
Oh, yeah, Castlevania. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Castlevania, of course. Like, the first boss. That, like, in every Castlevania game, that big vampire bat is always the first boss. Great
or
answer.
Zelda.
Great answer. Zelda, that's right. That's right. There was a bat monster in Zelda
they
as
fucking
well.
Sucked in Link to the... Or Adventures of Link.
Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Sia Tiberi suggests Michael Morbius from Spider-Man, who crosses with a bat. Dark Tetsuya says La Mulana has bats, but those are probably lifted from Castlevania. Good answer there as well. And Tiger Claw links us to the Giant Bomb Wiki, who actually has an article on list of bat characters. So how about that?
There really is an article on the internet for everything.
Isn't there really? Like, Tiger Claw says, fuck this game. I have the answer right here. I'm kind of laughing at how funny that is. That if you they list Batman, by the way. Just so we're clear, Loki, they list Batman. So is to fit Batman is a bat character in a game. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any of these. Beautiful Joe had Charles III, a bat creature in that game. I don't know why they say Conker is a bat. Why is Conker in this list? Conker's not a bat. Demon Hunter? Well, the Demon Hunter has a bat. In Diablo 3, I guess the Demon Hunter does have a bat pet she can have with her. So there is that. Kirby O'Neil, the father of April O'Neil, I guess was a
okay.
bat. Is that a thing that happened in Ninja Turtles? I had no idea. So there you go. Wingnut, also from Ninja Turtles, a character in the TMNT universe. So... there you go. JD says Barbara the Bat was in Super Smash Brothers, and JD says this list needs a fact check. Well, okay, OLR, this for Robert M. You guys need to get the Giant Bomb Wiki updated. We need an accurate perception of bats in video games. Thank you for the email. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
At first, I would thought we were talking about like baseball bats, and I was like, okay,
no,
well,
no,
lots of games with baseball bats.
You would think emails like that drive me crazy, but like, I appreciate the emails that are like, I had a random fucking thought today, OLR, and I want to share it with you.
Because we never do that on this show.
I know. We never get into tangents. I love it. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. In the meantime, Loki, why don't we get to it?
Let's talk about closures, and that's unfortunate. Boss Key Games has decided to shut down. So Boss Key Games, if you're not familiar, is Cliff... I can't talk because I just ate a bunch of salsa and my mouth's on fire. Cliff Blazinski's software company.
Do what I do and always say Cliffy B.
Cliffy B.
There you go.
Cliffy B's company.
Even though he's older now, so I think he's Cliff.
Clifford B.
No, I don't think he's Clifford. He's just Cliff. Just like you don't call me Robert.
Mr. Zinsky. Yeah. B. Zinsky. Anyways, so he went and formed the company after he left Epic Games. And they were, you know, really trying to push out a couple games with it. So one, of course, was Lawbreakers, which didn't quite take off. Of course, then the last second, they tried to come out with a Battle Royale-type game, Radical Heights, which also didn't really seem to gain traction. So, you know, unfortunately, because of all this, they've decided to just shut it all down. So Radical Heights is going to stay online for probably, you know, a little bit longer, but then that's going to be closed down as well. But, you know, as he put it, as of today, Boss Key Productions is effectively no more. 4 years ago, I set out to make world-class video game studio, and I hired some of the best talent in the video game industry, worked tirelessly to produce quality products, and while we had our ups and downs, I'd like to think we had fun doing it. Lawbreakers was a great game that unfortunately failed to gain traction, and in a last-ditch attempt, we scrambled to do our take on a huge battle royale genre with Radical Heights, which was well-received. However, it was a little too... And as for today, I'm going to take some time off and reflect. I need to focus on myself and my family, as well as my Aussie Teddy, who is slowly fading from us. Video games will be a huge, will be forever be a part of who I am, and I hope to make something new again someday. However, I need to withdraw and take this time. To those who have supported myself and the studio for the last few years, thank you from the bottom of my heart and everyone who came to work for me. Please note the servers for Radical Heights will remain up for the near future. Thanks again, Cliff.
Look, so I'm not going to talk shit about Clifford because I have nothing but respect for somebody who says, you know what, I'm going to take a little time away to go work on like family stuff and focus on these other things. I think that's great, and I wish him well with all that stuff. I am a bit surprised though, like how sudden this kind of feels. Like I didn't even maybe this is part of the problem. Now, granted, I don't play these games. I didn't even realize Radical Heights was like out.
It just came out. Like, it just came out.
That's what I thought. Like, it was like in early access or something like that. Like, it was right around like its infancy.
It was.
So it's surprising to me that it's this sudden. Now, if Cliff had to walk away because of family issues, again, I respect that. But the entire studio closing, that's like, that just seems really big. But maybe the money, the funding, you know, he kind of fesses up to it in there saying maybe it was just too little, too late. Keyword there. They couldn't get it out fast enough and the money well is dry.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate.
It's sad, but a reality about
they
games.
Thought, well, it's unfortunate because they're kind of like trying to take on like popular genres. So they did like the hero, like they had the whole like we're taking on Overwatch with Lawbreakers, which is a somewhat unique game, but still, it just didn't have like I think the character that really kind of brought people to it. And then you know, Radical Heights had, you know, it was interesting to see it. It neat take on the idea, but it's just a little too late.
Dungeon Buster in chat says at live.vognetwork.com, if I recall correctly, one of the leads tweeted that he learned about the company being closed from his 8-year-old daughter who showed him the news online. She asked him if he was going to be okay now that he was losing his job. Radical Heights was very prototype. They were testing the waters with it. It was largely unfinished but playable. That's a bummer, but you know what? That kind of sudden closure news is not particularly unique to the gaming industry.
Talk to your
I learned at a previous employer, not my current one, but a previous employer, I learned that layoffs were happening because a financial disclosure had happened that morning before they brought employees into a meeting. And so we were all pretty nervous for a good chunk of the day because we knew what was coming. So, I mean, this isn't something that's unique to the games industry, but it is still kind of it's not a good look, you know, but anyhow. Well, that's really unfortunate for those developers. I will say, though, a lot of other game industry people, as usually are in these situations, being really good to the people there. You know, Blizzard Careers is out there tweeting people right away. You know, we're looking for people because I'm sure they've got some unannounced things they're working on. I hope one of them is Diablo 4. Ooh, I can't wait for Blizzard's take on the Battle Royale genre. Although I guess they already have Overwatch. I don't know if I'm necessarily saying they need to bring Battle Royale to Overwatch.
I don't think everybody needs to do Battle Royale.
No, they don't. They don't. Just like Blizzard didn't do Minecraft either, so they don't need to do Battle Royale. But, you know, I'm half teasing. I just want them to do Diablo 4 since it doesn't seem like there's going to be another expansion for 3 at this point. So there you go. Let's talk about Super Smash Brothers. I know a lot of you are waiting for E3 for, like, just this game. And I know we don't have a ton of people overseas that listen to the show, but for those that are over in Japan, Super Smash Brothers is going to be playable at various events across Japan around the same time as E3. So that's pretty cool. So if you're in Japan and you feel like, oh, I want to play the new Smash 2, I don't want to have to go all the way to the States to do it. The good news is that you're going to be able to do that. So on June 17th at the Rage 2018 Summer, you can do that there. Or the Jesaidai World Hobby Fair on June 23rd and 24th. And the Jump Victory Carnival in both Tokyo and Osaka on July 16th and July 22nd, you will be able to play the game in Japan. So that's pretty cool that it's, you know, they're going to unveil it there. So it makes it pretty obvious that this game's getting its big unveiling at E3, and it's going to be playable at E3. And Nintendo not really keeping it a secret either, because they are going to be doing, get this, ticket reservations this year.
Finally,
a fucking fast pass system at E3. Of course, that just means all those people are going to be out on the floor, and I don't know if they're going to be able to handle that, but that's ESA's problem. E3 attendees, Nintendo announced, will be able to reserve play slots ahead of time for Super Smash Brothers with the purpose of having the fans get a faster, smoother experience. You're going to be able to reserve a ticket to play against people casually for fun or play for glory in a competitive elimination match. You will get an email from E3 organizers by June 5th if you register by May 31st with details about how to reserve one electronic ticket for this. So official E3, this is through. Nintendo is ticketing through official E3. That's pretty big. You have to play the game. You have to sign up ahead of time. No on-site registration will be available. You'll get a ticket as a QR code,
And more information at e3.nintendo.com. Reservations not taken for any other games at Nintendo's booth. This is only their e-ticket ride for the year, which is Super Smash Brothers. Which
How
is...
long before they appear on eBay?
who knows? Who knows? Yeah, I'm sure there's some E3 attendees who have no interest in seeing this. But it's interesting that they are doing it this way. The part of me that stood in a line for a very long time to see things like the DS when that was first announced and some of the other like Nintendo, I didn't have to stand in line to the Wii. Thanks for a buddy of mine who, by the way, well, I shouldn't talk about it. But anyway, he knows who he is, and thank you very much for it. But he helped me get to see the Wii with getting to skip that line and so forth. You know, other Nintendo stuff. 3DS, we stood in a big line for that, too. So it's nice that people are going to be able to kind of like skip it big time this year to check out Super Smash Brothers. And hopefully it runs smooth. Hopefully it runs smooth. But the fact that they're not doing any on site, that's pretty good. Because I remember when Sony did the VR thing, you had to kind of like go run and get a ticket. And it was obviously a clusterfuck straight to Sony's booth that morning. But it worked out pretty well. You didn't have to stand around all day to get to try VR. So, all right. So any interest in going to E3, Loki?
Nope.
Yeah, I think they'll take that Super Smash Brothers thing on the road here in the U.S. too. They're going to be really pushing that before the game comes out. It's very clear that that is going to be Nintendo's bread and butter for the holidays and how they plan to...
just put out a demo.
Maybe they will. Who knows? All right, moving on, Loki.
All right. So this is interesting. There's going to be a new Halo game soon. Coming to arcades. Yes. So Microsoft announced Halo Fireteam Raven. It's a light gun shooter game that's coming to arcades. And which arcades, might you ask? Dave & Buster's this summer. So check it out.
Will the Halo arcade game give tickets?
I don't know.
Every frag is a ticket, maybe?
It looks interesting, though. Like, it reminds me of like the Galaxian-type game because it almost looks like it's like in a booth with like two big giant screens.
Yeah, okay.
So, you're putting out, and it's done by, I guess, Raw Thrills and Play Mechanic. Actually, it looks exactly like that. Like, even the way the guns are set up and everything, it's just very much like that. Like a Galaxian game.
You think
I'll play it.
Do you think Halo 6 is the big E3 announcement for Microsoft this year?
I don't know. I thought it was going to be Gears of War.
Oh, could be. And so which game is getting the Battle Royale mode first? You know it's coming. You know it's coming. Tiger Claw in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says it's another one of those railgun shooters, which is the only way you can do a Halo arcade game.
I like railgun shooters in arcades.
Yeah, I like railgun shooters in arcades too.
That was my bread and butter.
It would be kind of fun though if they had like four of these together and you could like frag other people, but I understand that's a difficult arcade experience and a lot of real estate, especially at a small ass Dave & Buster's like the one we have here, which is, sorry, not sorry, a joke. The one here in town is—it's like the small. They said it's the smallest one in the entire chain, next to Times Square.
Lucky us!
I know, right? And even I went to the one in Times Square, and I was more impressed with that one. Sorry, not sorry.
Couldn't they make ours like two-story or something like that? Multiple stories, and
you would have thought
have like you know space.
It's going to be interesting when Round One opens up across the street next year.
How about we just bulldoze the whole Sunrise Mall and put a big Dave & Buster's in there?
Watch your words, because I think that's not to get too much into local politics, but I really don't see how that mall stays around much longer.
It's not. It's clearly not. And, well, to get into local politics, my wife and
I
we follow a local Facebook group around here, and there's one of the planners for the area is in there, and they talk about like different proposals for Sunrise Mall. That thing is not staying around very long. In fact, I went there the other day and like half the restaurants are gone out of the food court. Like Sears is closing down soon.
Yep.
So I mean there's nothing anchoring that there.
You know, they might have more success as, and I will tie this to video games. Stay tuned. They may have more success as an event center because they do that tennis thing was there like some summers and that was
They had circuses,
carnivals. So I bet that place would have a lot more success as an event space, which could include, and this is one thing they've been talking about that more shopping malls are getting into, is like e-gaming and e-sports hosting. That would be very interesting.
It would be neat.
Yeah, if like the old Sears at Sunrise Mall became like an e-sports arena, that mall might be kind of interesting.
I just don't know what they're going to do.
Who knows? All right. excuse me, guys. Let's move on to a story on Star Fox. This is a rumor.
big rumor, but as E3 approaches, we're going to have a lot of these, so bear with us. But what would you all think if this were true? Because sources say that Retro Studios is working on Star Fox Racing.
No.
Yeah, Retro Studios, apparently this is their next project, is a Star Fox Racing game. And this originally came from Eurogamer, who has had some leaks in the past. Some other bullets that have come out about the game. It's not like F-Zero. Star Fox Grand Prix is a tentative title. It's based on an Airwing, which is how it's not F-Zero. It's a mix between Star Fox and racing. You shoot enemies to move forward and get combos. You can shoot other players too. It's a big hub area where you can interact with the Star Fox characters. Retro is considering cameos like Donkey Kong, maybe 2019 or 2018.
So, I know. They can throw Diddy Kong in there.
Why not?
Because, you know, Diddy Kong Racing would have been more apt as a racing game than, you know, what Star Fox Racing is.
You know, I would rather see an F-Zero, but I also understand that I may need to let that go a little bit. I'm open to the idea of a Star Fox Racing game, but it's all about how does it play. Now, if it's kind of making its niche on, like, a competitive racing game where, like, the more you destroy other people, the more you move faster, it sounds a little bit like Wipeout in a way, maybe.
There's been games like that, I think.
Yeah. So I'm open to it, and I realize that Mario Kart is a huge game on the Switch and was great for Wii U too. So I think maybe Nintendo wants to duplicate that success without necessarily doing Mario Kart 9 right now.
And do Diddy Kong Racing. You don't need to add more racing games.
Or F-Zero.
F-Zero. Hey, yeah. Everybody's asking for F-Zero, our one of our big racing games that we have. Let's make an additional racing game that no one's going to have interest in instead.
Dark Tetsuya says there is another rumor that supposedly says F-Zero SX for Switch, but I don't know if I buy it or not. You know, again, now we're getting into rumors that are really out there. I would love it if it's true. Maybe it's a type of revival of F-Zero GX, and they're going to just kind of like port it to Switch and maybe put a few more tracks.
I'd be down.
I'd be down. I would. You know what? If you could like play it online smoothly and everything, like actually, I'd be kind of down. I would check that out. You know, right now, Fast Racing Neo kind of has to fill that void, but yeah. F-Zero is unique in what it is, and Fast Racing has the whole like polarizing thing, like Ikaruga kind of does when you race. So it's a little bit different than an F-Zero game feels. But I would be okay if a new F-Zero game is like basically a GX remaster, so they can do it on the cheap. And you know that game is I think horribly underlooked by a lot of people. So I'm all for giving it a second chance with a newer Nintendo generation.
Yeah,
for sure. Just a couple more stories, and then we'll probably open up the Skype line for a brief bit. But I am kind of dragging here towards the end. So a couple more stories here, Loki. Take it away.
And once again, just as I mentioned when we're talking to Bobby, you know, Microsoft slowly has been chipping away at PlayStation as far as the things it does for, you know, its community and like supporting things that people want, like backwards compatibility or different audio modes, you know, for Dolby Atmos or, you know, 4K video playback in, you know, 4K Blu-rays and stuff like that. So now to add on top of that, you know, they came out with a new control system specifically for those with people with limited mobility. So this new controller looks really strange, but you know, with it, they have different add-ons that you can add to allow for all sorts of different options for mobility. So, for example, if you know, you can add giant buttons, you can customize it with certain, you know, mouthpieces if you can only use your mouth to move stuff. Or, I mean, they just have so many options to basically map stuff out. You can remap everything. It looks pretty awesome. It's going to be out later this year for $100. But, I mean, just a very interesting thing to support, you know, which probably not a huge large demographic of people playing, you know, games. But it's important, though. And the fact that they see that it's important and, you know, address it is far and away better than some other companies.
All right. Yeah, I love that they're, like, doing this. I love that this is, like, a thing that they're putting out there. I'm all about more accessibility and getting more people gaming. And if that has to be Xbox's, like, niche or whatever to really, like, you know, differentiate it from what Sony is doing and what others are doing, cool. you know, I would hope that maybe they're going to set something that Sony and Nintendo will want to copy. And I think, excuse me again, I think there have been great advocates in the gaming industry with companies like Able Gamer, which, by the way, is who I use my Amazon Smile with. Just, you know, a free shout out for Able Gamer, because I think it's great what they're doing is that they do advocate and they do kind of like remind people. Because, you know, I don't want to give Sony shit or Nintendo shit either, because I feel like we're more aware of those type of things now. Because, like, you know, Sony, the fact that you can in the PlayStation 4 operating system, you can like natively do whatever button swap you want, so games don't have to put it in themselves. Like, that's a step. That's progress. That lets a few more be able to do something that couldn't before. But this whole device that Microsoft's doing really takes it one step further. I think it would be even more awesome if this thing were universal and you could use it on any system. I realize that gets into a little bit crazy fanboy territory. But
I mean, to be fair, it is a Microsoft controller.
So you can use it on PC.
And Microsoft controllers, are usually compatible with PC. So, I mean, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, that is very good.
You know, sorry that doesn't support Sony systems. Well,
yeah.
Too bad.
Do you see yourself picking one up? I mean, I guess there's no reason for you or me to own this. And I hope, you know, again, to shout out Bobby a little bit, because the reality is, I know you podcasters, some of you may listen, some of you may not. But for our live folks, they always, you know, almost always, if they're here early enough, they hear him for an hour before we're on. So he kind of got into this a little bit, talking about, you know, he doesn't. And Bobby, if I misquote you, feel free to correct me, as you would anyway. But like, when it comes to speed running and things, you wouldn't want somebody to be like, look, I can speed run a game because I use this controller. You don't want this to like be a thing that's like, you know, like, oh, it's a cool new thing to use this controller because it lets you do games faster. It lets you, like, exploit things or whatever.
I don't think that would be the case.
I would hope not either. But, you know, it's a little different when somebody wants to, say, use the dance pad to play Mario Brothers or something, which, yes, you could do because GameCube had a DDR game. You know, it's a little different from the, like, crazy crossovers. But something like this is really for accessibility, kind of hopefully sort of like stays as something for that audience to really be able to use for them and celebrate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, all right. Let's see. She-Hulk in chat says the Elite controller makes gaming much easier, a definite advantage. You know, I always forget about those Elite controllers, but they are something. They are very nice pieces of hardware. I mean, I haven't dropped the money on one because I just don't do quite enough Xbox gaming, but the more and more PC gaming I do, the more I think about picking one up and using the Bluetooth to use PC, too. So,
yeah,
for sure. Anyway, last but not least, more rumors. This is about Pokemon. I want to ask what you guys think. So, apparently, the big Pokemon for Nintendo Switch, some information is coming out about it. And it's coming from the Emily Rogers camp, which, you know, she's had a lot of, you know, predictions that have come true. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt, as you would any rumor. But what would you guys think if this was true? Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. So it's not really Gen 8. So, I mean, this is where this does kind of make sense to me, because we've heard conflicting rumors about a Gen 1 reboot and that, no, the Switch Pokemon is going to be Gen 8. So maybe instead of the full-fledged Pokemon game being this year, maybe that is next year, which would make sense, too, because the time between generations is usually a good 3-4 years. You know, it hasn't been that long yet since Sun and Moon. So maybe we're getting a spin-off game, a la Pokemon Pinball, a la Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, to kind of like hold us over this year and give us a Pokemon experience on the Switch. And it sounds like it could be this in the Pokemon Let's Go. And that would be what would come out. And it sounds like it may have some ties into Pokemon Go. It sounds like these games, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, it sounds like these games might be like some type of like single player couch playing Pokemon Go-esque experience is what it sounds like.
Can you imagine, though? Like, because I know that these are all cartridge based. So could we, in fact, have like a device that's larger than a game cartridge to fit in there that may have like GPS built into it or something like that?
I don't think it's literally Pokemon Go, because that's what Pokemon Go is. So I think that this would be something where, here's the thing, Loki, it could be an ingenious use of the Nintendo app to be able to use your GPS from your phone to geolocate you. But, like, are we really going to put Nintendo and app development and online? Are we going to give them that much credit that they know how to do that?
Because I'm not in the middle of the ocean.
I'm not the big hater you are, and I'm not going to give them that much credit. But, you know, I could see some type of, like, single-player experience built around the concept of Pokemon Go.
Maybe.
maybe, where it's a little more action-based, maybe. And maybe they tie the raids into it somehow, and, you know, a little bit of that. It's not maybe the same classic JRPG experience. I mean, it would be a spinoff game. Pokemon spinoff games are often notable as well, right? Pokemon Snap, that was a rad game. We love that Pokemon Snap. The Mystery Dungeon games, not bad. I love the pinball games. Those pinball games are pretty sweet. So, like, there's no shame in being a Pokemon spinoff game as long as it's,
I'm,
you know,
surprised
a fun
that Pokemon
game.
Snap hasn't come back yet with all the Me selfie too. Type, you know, social media stuff. I would think that that'd be all people would be all over that crap.
Yeah, for sure. So there you go. That's the latest rumor. But honestly, guys, just wait until E3. They'll tell you what's coming at E3. All right, let's open up the Sky Applied. I'm going to open this up real quick because I'm kind of dragging here at the end of the day. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Loki, I know there were some stories that didn't make the cut tonight. Did you want to address any of them now?
Sure. Let me jump in there real fast.
Sorry to spring that on you, but you should be used to it now.
I should be.
You should be.
You would think I'd be ready. Yeah.
Orange Lounge Radio on Skype if you want to give us a call.
So let's talk a little bit about sales numbers. Gran Turismo sold 80 million copies, or they've hit their milestone there. I know I saw Grand Theft Auto 5 actually hit a pretty large milestone of 95 million copies sold. So that's pretty ridiculous. This is kind of cool. So you may remember there's that whole homebrew or hacker thing that you can basically mod the Switch now. So someone has actually taken the interface or something that looks very similar to the interface of the SNES Mini and put it on the Switch.
I'm so sorry, Loki, to interrupt, but can I just say, on going back a little bit, because I wanted to pull this up because I was curious, like, how does that sales number for Grand Theft Auto V compare to other video games? That is more than Wii Sports at this point. Wii Sports was number 3. Now Grand Theft Auto V is number 3. It still has not outpaced Minecraft and the number one best-selling game ever with 177 million units, Tetris. Not too surprising there. Some other ones that kind of surprised me. I did not realize PUBG is already 40 million. That's crazy. Mario Kart Wii also did very well, 37 million. A lot of those Wii games really high up on the list. Pokemon Red and Blue at number 9. You can check out the whole list over on Wikipedia. I know, I'm using Wikipedia as a source, but I figure, hey, they've got to source it to get it on Wiki. So, for the most part.
You would assume.
If I went over there and it's like President Cat is the third best-selling game of all time, I'd be like, okay, maybe not. Maybe somebody went in here and fucked with the Wiki. Anyway, Loki, I'm sorry to cut you off. I wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, so there was that cool, you know, like I said, a mod that someone's working on, an emulator that's basically a virtual console, though, for the Switch. So I'm down with that. And then apparently there's some sort of thing going on for Street Fighter V, where they're basically doing a tie-in with Power Rangers. So that's going to be interesting. I know they've got some Power Rangers Legacy Wars. It's a mobile game. And so, I don't know. They're going to have, like, Street Fighter characters in there as well. I mean, that's pretty cool. Oh, neat. So, let's see what that is all about. What else? Let's see. I don't know. That's pretty much it. I think there isn't a whole lot else for the week. Taiko no Tatsujin. Their Switch version's coming out in Japan. They're also going to be doing a controller from Hori. So that's kind of cool. They're going to have 20 party games in there. And let's see when that's expected to be out here. Since Bomani Sale decides to load here. Come on. You can do it. Never mind.
All right, that's all right. Oh, we have one call. Wow, I was just about to close it, and then it lit up, so why not? I don't see this name popping on Skype an awful lot, but let's see. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is JD.
Hey, I don't see you on Skype an awful lot, even though we get you in studio once in a while, but it's good to hear from you. What's up, buddy?
So one of the stories I saw this week was Ariana Grande did a Labo promotion doing No Tears Left to Cry with all Labo instruments.
You know what? I appreciate you bringing that up. You're right. That's a pretty big deal. Ariana Grande, she's kind of a big deal. I don't know if Loki, if you know her. But yeah, she's kind of a big deal, a pop star. So for her to be doing this Labo thing is kind of like those 3DS commercials with Beyonce. But I would put that at number one because Beyonce is like untouchable. But Ariana Grande, like that's pretty solid. That's like Nintendo's second biggest grab ever, probably.
Right. I mean, we already know Ariana Grande is a gamer queen because of the Final Fantasy thing.
Oh,
but...
oh yeah, Final Fantasy gamer queen, absolutely.
Right. So my hope is, like, they were playing a bunch of musical instruments that were all Labo things. I'm hoping that they will release a all musical instrument Labo bundle instead of variety pack that includes a piano that I'm only going to want the piano out of.
Yeah. I must confess, I didn't see the commercial. I just saw some of the screenshots on Twitter and all that stuff.
I didn't realize that was a commercial. I know that they did something I thought on the late, what was it, with Seth Meyers? Or not
Jimmy
Seth
Fallon.
Myers, Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon, that's right. Yeah, they did their thing.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, was there instruments in there that we haven't seen yet indicating that there's more to come?
I feel like, yes, they had, like, a drum set, and it wasn't just all pianos. And as far as I know, the only one that's been released is pianos.
But a lot of it looked like they were hacked from other things. Like, they had taken some of the parts from, like, the robot set. And
you know
stuff.
What? I really would not be surprised, though. I mean, Labo seems to be doing well. It was sold out at Target, like, and it's – I saw it on shelf.
I've seen it around.
Yeah, but it. I feel like
they
it's
had
doing
it marked
well.
Down at Fry's. They had the robot kit marked down.
That's where I saw it today, Fry's. Anyway, because I got new mics.
Yeah.
That I never bothered to hook up. But anyway. Yeah, Labo, I feel like, is doing well. So, I mean, it would make sense that there's probably going to be a Volume 3 and a Volume 4, and that musical instruments are probably one of those upcoming things.
Right. Someone else posted a link about the Game of Thrones composer playing the theme on Labo, like the Labo piano. So, like, clearly, at least somebody in Nintendo's marketing department is trying to make this happen.
Yeah, no, I would say, you know, Labo's. It feels like from a pop culture standpoint, Labo's kind of breaking through a little bit. So I feel like, look, we're seeing this in a way we didn't see the Wii Vitality Sensor, okay? So I feel like this is something that's probably going to be around for a little bit.
I hope so.
Yeah. Did you ever buy Labo? Did you ever actually pick it up?
No, I didn't. I just decided that there was... I mean, the signal-to-noise ratio wasn't great for me. I was like, if I only want one of the five things, I'll wait until it's either... available separately or just not get it.
I'm kind of with you, but if they do an all music set, that is going to be very tempting, with or without the piano, honestly. I mean, the piano's rad, but if they did like a drum and a guitar and like this whole set, I kind of be into that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, JD, anything else on your mind tonight?
That's it.
All right, I'm going to let you go. Thanks. Thank you for blessing our show with Ariana Grande's presence. I appreciate it.
Of course.
All right, bye. All right, we'll see if anybody else gets through at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. Anything else you wanted to get out there, Loki?
No.
No?
The Taikono Tatsujin game's coming out in July in Japan. The controller looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Pretty sweet.
Well, I'm running out of gas, you guys. I think I'm going to close up the Skype line for tonight. Sorry it's a little bit shorter of a show, but you guys know I'm kind of battling this whole allergy thing, which, you know, in the years I've been doing the show has never been a problem, but here we are. We'll be back next week to do it all over again. Dark Soccer should be back next week, and that'll be exciting. So check that out next Sunday at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for downloading Orange Lounge Radio and supporting the show. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are actually here to air. A nice 5-star review on iTunes goes an awful long way, but word of mouth is like the absolute best thing you can do. And that brings me to final thoughts. My final thought tonight is rest and liquids and hopefully dinner pretty soon. I'm ready to take a break. I get a break from my project tomorrow too, so I'm going to try to play some games and stuff. Loki, your final thought.
I'm going to be playing some Grand Theft Auto 5 this week, and ironically not online. I'm going to be playing, they have this new Battle Royale single player thing. It's a mod that you can play that looks pretty fun, so I'm going to try that. And maybe work on, you know, programming. I did work on some of that this week.
All right, good, good. Then I want to hear about the progress next week. We're going to hold you to it. Until then, happy gaming this week, you guys. We'll see you in 7 days. Thanks for spending some time with us here at Orange Lounge Radio. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.